You're listening to the Potential Cast, episode number 4, Teacher's Pet. Xander falls for a beautiful substitute teacher who is actually a she-manus intent on mating with, then decapitating, virginal boys.
That says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. That wraps it up.
Mantis. Poor Buffy. She finally gets a teacher to reach out to her and show some faith in her.
Some
she-mantis chops his head off.
What I loved about it is that they cleaned up the whole scene but left his broken glass just on the floor for her to pick up.
For days.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah. But hey,
we got to find clues somewhere.
You have to have suspension of belief,
of disbelief,
right?
Yeah, oh. Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Which
Did
is
we
true.
Want to go over our feedback first?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead.
We okay. do have a voicemail about this episode, don't we?
Yes.
You want to get started with that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go ahead. And this is from Michael David, who goes on who goes as Ren Mike'd in, on Twitter.
Hello, Potential Cast. This is Mike, Ren Mike. You guys are doing a great job so far. Really enjoying watching the show again.
Oh, good.
I watched it when it was originally on. I guess it was on WB. But this episode, the Teacher's Pet one, was probably the end of the week episodes at the beginning of the season, the first season.
Yeah.
Obviously, the costuming of the praying mantis was a bit... Yeah, a bit cheesy, you know, but it's really the last episode like that, and the next one really starts to hit the stride of the series, where you start getting more of the story of the master.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully you guys decide to stick with it, because it's worthwhile. But the Xander and the teacher thing, it was like that era of television. Every student was getting with their teacher, like Pacey and his teacher. And, I mean, it was like every TV show seemed to have that issue in it.
That's so true.
Stick with it. It gets better after this one, I promise. And great job, guys. See you later.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
That's awesome. Everybody's telling us to stick with it.
Just stick with it.
Well, I think we're definitely going to stick with it. So it's true. There was a common theme, right? In the late 90s about, you know, students and teachers and...
Yeah, wasn't it Mary Kay Letourneau or whatever that started all that?
So.
Is that her name?
God.
Stuff with our 12-year-old student.
Ew. Girl.
I think they're still married today because they have 2 kids now.
Wow.
Wow.
Hey, love knows no boundaries, right?
Yes,
not. No, but like he said in his voicemail, the last episode and this one, again, they're like, you know, the Monster of the Week episodes. Whereas, I think when they first introduced the series, we were introduced to the master, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering when he's going to pop up again, and he hasn't in the past 2 episodes.
Yeah, like in Witch, he wasn't even mentioned.
Mm-mm.
But in Teacher's Pet,
he was mentioned.
They found a way to bring him into the story a little bit with the vampire that Angel warns Buffy about that has like a fork hand,
the claw hand.
Yeah.
Claw hand, that's what it was.
Fork guy.
The fork guy.
Fork guy.
And Giles like thinks that maybe this was the master cut his hand off and replaced it with a claw or something.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Mm-hmm. Because I was expecting it to be more of a serial show because of what you explained, Steph, but then it felt like Monster of the Week-ish was going to be the trend, but I'm glad that they're slowly introducing it back in. Because I love shows like that where it's like the whole series or the whole season is one major story. And then we go on to like another major story. I prefer those to the, you know, slice of the flavor of the month type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like Supernatural. Or Supernatural is like Buffy, where it's the monster of the week, but it's the, you know, like, what was it in season one where they were looking for their father?
Yeah.
And it was something else in season two. It's sort of like that.
But I understand why they do those episodes, because you're more introducing the characters in those type of episodes.
Yeah.
Which is good, because that's how I really began to appreciate Supernatural. Because I watched it at first, and I'm like, really? Is it going to be like this? But towards the end, I was like, what? When is season two start? I love this show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's what I took.
So did everybody think the teacher eating the bugs for lunch was a little weird?
Yes.
I thought she would just have lots of lettuce or leaves off a tree.
Yeah, it was a bug eating a bug.
Yeah, I mean, the praying mantis is a cannibal, but I thought that was only after sex.
Maybe she just got it on and then...
Maybe, and she had a little bit of postcoital bug. I don't know.
So, Illyrio.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you find the teacher hot?
What was it Giles said? She seems quite nice in a perfectly proportioned sort of way. She's very lovely in a perfectly proportioned sort of way. I thought she was attractive. I did have an air of recognition. I kind of recognized her from stuff, and then I kind of looked her up. And she's originally a South African, and she's been in lots of sci-fi and stuff, so I think maybe I just, like, recognize her. I would say she's an attractive person, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, as is the only male on this podcast, I will say that this particular episode does represent every high school male's fantasy.
I would doubt that.
So every moment that Xander is acting stupid mm-hmm. is in fact completely biologically driven stupidity.
I love where he goes to her house and she opens the door and his eyes are on her chest.
Right, yeah. Right. Like they don't even like, it's not even subtle.
No.
That cracks me up.
You played it so perfectly.
It's a very nice chest. I mean, dress. it was really good. And again, you know, from first, second, third, now fourth episode, I really feel like the acting's getting better.
I do too.
You know what I mean? Like certain elements of timing worked out much better.
I think they're just starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're getting a feel for the writing and the timing and the phrasing and the cadence. I think the Nicholas who plays Xander just mm-hmm. gets it. He got it before everyone else did.
Hmm.
And that's why I think he is the best on the show so far.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm, totally. The whole idea of the vampire being afraid of Miss French mm-hmm. And kind of revealing that to Buffy as her being weird, I really like that. Mm. I thought that was really well put together. I think Angel giving Buffy his jacket was lame. But you know,
I thought it was cute. But
it will play into things later on, and I think that was an homage to the movie.
Okay, that's true. But there's also why is he wearing a wife beater under there? Like,
because it's a hot leather jacket in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, well, it's not the middle of the summer; they're in school.
Oh, they're in school,
but they are in California.
Yes, it's away summer there.
So
right?
For us in Canada, it's the same thing. Right, Kim.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole therapy session that Cordelia had.
Oh God. Cordelia. Ugh. Like, could you be any more self-centered?
Yeah.
Yes, she could actually.
I think that maybe that might be coming up.
Mm-hmm. But, like, it's funny, but at the same time, I'm rolling my eyes, going, "Really? Why is she part of this show right now?" Is just for like a one or two scenes of comic relief, but I don't know, because I'm hoping later on she plays a bigger part. There has to be a reason that she's in the main cast, right, and not just a guest star like Angel is.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be. That's just my guess.
Ugh, I hate her. There's just no way around it. I hate her, and
I think I hate her about as much as Willow does, to be quite honest. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so very early on in this episode, the way it opens is Xander is having a dream sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the whole velour yes. dress reference from our previous yes. recordings came up, where I think you're referencing this scene where Buffy's quite poorly fighting off a vampire while she's wearing a red velour dress, and Xander comes to the rescue.
Yes.
And then he goes up on stage and plays guitar.
I thought it was awesome.
He's so awesome. He rocks out.
He's amazing. Yeah.
That was, anyway, for me, as having once been a teenage boy and having had
didn't you
fantasies
dream about being
as,
like that?
As a teenage boy, kicking ass and then playing guitar on stage, probably among the top three fantasies. And then later on, you realize he thinks he has a chance with a hot teacher. So basically, those are fantasies 1, 2, and 3 right there covered in this episode. So... definitely hitting the young male target demographic with the stuff going on in this episode and who this episode is trying to reach, because that is entirely realistic.
Awesome. Uh-huh.
We want to rock out, we want to kick ass, and we want to get with the hot teacher.
Love it.
But yeah, Xander's manhood was called into question.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And who was there entirely willing to help him prove that his manhood was awesome? Willow.
Of course, Willow loves it.
Because she hearts him. Or at least I think she does.
Of course she does.
Well, she really likes his head because that's where his eyes are. Remember that scene? I don't want him to get decapitated. Oh, when Blaine is in the cage and terrifyingly
First
telling
of all,
Xander,
his name is Blaine.
Blaine,
okay.
Yeah. It's a major appliance, not a name.
Blaine.
Blaine.
Blaine. He was a douchebag.
Blaine.
Yeah. But what he was telling Xander, what was up, like, what was in store for him? It was so bad.
She mates with you, then yes. she's gonna cut your head off.
How do you like your eggs?
Scrambled. Oh,
yeah.
And what's with that final shot where there's an egg hatching?
Oh,
that's, I don't know. Does that
now
does
is that a throwaway or does that come back?
It's throwaway. It doesn't. Nothing ever comes.
I was afraid of that.
Was it supposed to give us the heebie-jeebies, like the whole moving right. eye cheerleader statue thing? Yeah.
Ooh, good point. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah, they missed it.
The episode's over, but you'll have nightmares.
The statue thing did freak me out, but anyway. Oh.
So people aren't obsessed with things that aren't answered, like Lost fans? Like, they don't want to, like, what happened to the egg in season 1, episode 4?
No, and there are a couple of continuity errors.
Really? Okay.
A lot of...
In this episode or in general?
No, in general. Okay. There's a couple of things that are kind of weird, but I think people just kind of overlook it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What a wonderful notion.
But I don't know. Listeners can write in and let me know if I'm wrong.
I'm sure one person will. I like this episode, though.
Well, good.
I thought it was funny because... You didn't?
No.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I hated this episode. I was so scared I was going to be the only one that didn't like it. Oh my god, it was a chore for me to get through both times.
Yeah,
but not. It's not. But not like a chore in the way that, oh my god, I never want to watch another episode again, because I'm really digging the series and I'm getting attached to the characters already. But this episode was just painful to me.
Wow.
I guess I like it when I see that when guys get really embarrassed, because every time Xander was on, I was cracking up like hardcore belly laughs, where I was on the floor and I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, Xander.
Now you're
did.
On the floor because you don't have furniture yet, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
That is part of the reason.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, well, Xander did get to shine in this episode. You got to see a lot of different sides to him. Like, he got mad at Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really angry.
Because she was taking away his chance to be with the teacher.
Yeah, and like...
Got angry.
I guess, like, well, you don't want me, but you don't want anybody else to have me. And
yeah, that's where his ego came in. But meanwhile, she's like, no, I'm just trying to protect you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because you wanted a girl, Xander.
Great yeah. one.
Definitely, I enjoyed this one a lot. I thought there were some parts that were really kind of cheesy, but I don't know. I like the whole kind of giant insect thing. not as a recurring thing, but the concept that there's a giant insect doing stuff, pretending to be human. I really like that kind of sci-fi stuff. And it was kind of interesting to get an example of what kind of non-vampire baddies that they're going to have to battle. And I thought mm-hmm. that this was kind of an interesting, an interesting enemy, mm-hmm. you know, to
right.
say the least.
Because I thought while watching it, I'm like, did they decide to put these two episodes back to back purposely? Because episode 3 was very girl slanted and episode mm-hmm. 4 was very boy slanted.
That's true.
So were they trying to get all the teens to watch and get invested in the show? Or is it just a happy coincidence?
I think so. I think you're right. I think that it was a way to for the guys to really respond to Xander, his mm-hmm. antics. Because all guys say that Xander is their favorite character.
Uh-huh.
Because they can relate so well with him.
Because mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys around my age, if I ask them about Buffy, they're like, oh, I never watched it, but Buffy was so hot. I was like, oh yeah? I was like, well, maybe this was a way to get them to watch because Xander was like the every guy's guy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
And he was into Buffy, so if you're mm-hmm. into Buffy, you can see yourself in him.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry to bring this up, but Xander's brown velour shirt.
I love it. I love everything Xander wears. I love everything Xander. All he needed was some corduroy pants to go with that.
Yes.
And he would have rocked it.
With the cuffs rolled up on the pants.
All I want to do is when I see Xander is like give him a haircut because his hair is nuts. It's not like a quasi mullet going on, and it's not.
When Xander first sees Angel and realizes he's a very handsome man, no one mentioned that.
He's very buff. What? You think he's buff?
Yes, he's a very handsome man. Why didn't anyone mention this? You know, that's awesome. Like that's awesome.
That's just what a guy would do. That's just mm-hmm. how he would react.
And this is his first ever job.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I wonder what other actors were up for the role of Xander.
Hmm.
Did they ever mention that on anything, Steph?
Wasn't Ryan Reynolds up for it?
What?
Really?
Ooh, really?
I think so.
Good old Canadian boy.
He would have been too good looking to be Xander.
Yeah.
Because he'd compete with Angel, and maybe that would have changed the whole dynamic of the show.
Right.
Wasn't Ryan Reynolds a vampire in Blade 3?
Spoiler alert! Come on, no, it's okay.
But he wasn't always super hot. I mean, remember when he was in Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place? He was just kind of like a goofy guy.
He was hot. Like,
I like that.
I mean, he's always hot, but I mean, it wasn't like like Ryan Reynolds now hot. He was just he's attractive, goofy guy.
That would have been funny if he was Xander. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Something I wanted to talk about is, we were talking about how you said that you think Buffy learns better hands-on.
Yes. This was the episode that she did it.
That was the episode. What's his name? What's the doc? Dr. Gregory. Dr. Gregory saw the potential that Buffy had, that she was, mm-hmm. she thought on her feet.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to think on her feet. And she was able to use what she had learned from Dr. Gregory to kill the praying mantis.
Yeah.
The bug spray.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important because there's a lot of times where I was in high school and I was never engaged unless the teacher at first took an interest in the subject he or she was teaching. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of times the teachers themselves are just going through the motions.
That never happens. That never happens. That's slanderous.
But if you get a teacher that makes learning different, not necessarily fun, but in a way you haven't seen it done before. Because I myself am very visual when I learn things, and when things finally make sense to me, it's like, oh, okay. Because if I have to sit there and read a textbook and just regurgitate back what I read, I would go insane. Hmm. And so I think Buffy's like that because she's very practical, and like she has to touch things and feel things and to see how they work to understand them. And I think that the doctor was because he reached out,
yeah,
and he said, "Look, you're not, you know." I like that. I really like that. It's a shame that again, finally, when someone takes an interest into Buffy, he has to be eaten by a praying mantis. Go figure.
That actually kind of worries me a little. I mean, that, oh, here's an adult that's, you know, that has faith in her and, you know, that she has a connection to her. I'm scared that that's going to keep happening, where people like that are going to come into her life and then die. Mm-hmm. I would hate to see that keep happening over and over and over for 17, but I just feel weird. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
Because that could be like other people watching her, and they're like, they can't let anyone get too close to her.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What about Giles? He made a phone call. He talked to somebody who had experienced something like this before. Did he say who? I think he said he was calling Carlisle.
I forgot the name, but definitely he made a call to someone who had experience dealing with a she-mantis. And it sounded like he was talking to somebody who was in authority that had to let him talk to that person.
What?
Yeah.
It didn't say that he was calling England or anything.
I don't know, but I'm assuming that's what happened.
He said he had to make a transatlantic call to someone that was that knew about bugs and something else.
Hmm.
I'm drawing a blank.
I must have missed this part of the episode.
Well, it's been so long, right, Kim?
Yeah. It's been 4 days.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I definitely remember the call. I don't remember who he said he was talking to, but it definitely seemed like as soon as he got off the call, he knew what they had to do.
Oh,
or
okay.
Something was confirmed in his mind. Mm-hmm. I think he basically had to double check something with someone, which is interesting. Is there a network of watchers and he's calling up a watcher who had experience with something like that?
Or? Does Giles know of other watchers around? Can I ask that, or should I?
Mm.
No.
Next question.
But Illyria, you did bring up something earlier that I thought was interesting, is because we know the show's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, mm-hmm. and the past two episodes have dealt with other monsters that weren't vampires. And I was like, oh man, are we going to have like a new monster every week? Like, is there going to be like Dracula? Not Dracula. Is there going to be like another type of mythological creature that Buffy has to kill?
Yeah, well, I think there might be a mummy in her future, if I remember my watching of the first season. So I don't know how much of that happens after the first season. Steph, I don't know if like does that kind of stuff still happen? Where they want to show us the diversity of the Hellmouth?
Yes, there is. And sometimes it's not monsters. Sometimes it's phenomena.
Oh.
Okay.
Ooh.
that's really interesting.
I mean, there's just all kinds of things.
Hmm.
All kinds of things.
There's no, like, Frankenstein or anything like that. I should just stop asking.
I'll tell it will be things that are very familiar to you, but there will be a twist on, there'll be the Buffy twist on it.
Okay.
Like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Stepford Wives, that sort of thing.
Okay.
But with a twist.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Now, did they ever explain, now, was she a praying mantis because she was a shapeshifter or because of a spell? That was never clear to me. Hmm. I don't know why I want to know that, but I do.
I don't know. Yeah, I wondered how she could shapeshift and turn into a human.
Yeah, and at one point when he's on her couch and she asks him the question that all young men want to hear, do you want to touch me with your hands? Her arm transforms into a praying mantis arm, but her legs are still human. I think I have that visual memory, and I was wondering, so maybe there's like a little...
Hmm.
Maybe it's just for, you know... Well, it wasn't just for us, because he said something awesome. Which I'm not going to say, because I want to use it as my closing line.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Ready to close out?
I think we might be ready to close out. If you have any feedback for us, you want to get in touch with us, you want to let us know what you think of the show, what you think about... specific episodes of Buffy, you can reach us by email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
And you could also call us at 27040-BUFFY.
Buffy!
And that way we can listen to your lovely voice, and if we so choose, if we deem you worthy, we'll play your voicemail. We'd love to play all the voicemails on the show, and we think that voicemailing is awesome. Because you can just call and leave a voicemail. You don't have to go through all the recording equipment and then attaching that to an email. We all know that's complicated. And then sending it off to potentialcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter.
Twitter.com/potentialcast.
That's right. And you can be one of our followers. We will let you know all kinds of things, especially when the show's out, when it's released. We record 2 episodes at a time. So if you have anything specifically you want to talk to us about, you know, just send us something whenever you want. So if you want to talk to us about episode 10 and you've only heard us talk about episode 5, feel free to send it in. We'll star it in our Gmail and we'll bring it up later when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
So how much did we like this episode? Do we want to rate it?
I give it a 7. I take a point off for the praying mantis arms.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. But did that really, like, ruin it for you, the fact that it was kind of cheesy costumey?
No, it didn't. It didn't, because I've accepted it over the first couple of episodes, and everyone just keeps saying, oh, don't worry about season one. Season two gets much better. So I've accepted the fact that I'll have to deal with the paper mache-esque.
But, you know, I was thinking about this. I've showed Buffy the first season to a couple of Morgan's friends, 12-year-olds, they love it. They eat it up.
Yeah.
So I think for preteens and teenagers, I think they see it in a different light.
They must. And
since it's made for them, you know, they swallow it a lot easier than we do.
It's like the Pokeroo effect. Or Illyrio might know what I'm talking about.
Of course I do. I missed him again.
The thing that's so ridiculous is that I didn't realize that Pokeroo was the other co-host until I was in my late teens.
Oh, no.
And that's embarrassing. And let Illyrio explain it.
The Polka Dot Door was on TV Ontario, but it was broadcast throughout Canada. It was a children's show. And it dealt with reading, and it taught you how to tell the time, and it showed you different videos of how things were made, and every day of the week was a different day.
The target audience is a 4-year-old, by the way.
But I watched it until it was no longer on the air, because, you know, nostalgia and everything. And Thursday was Imagination Day. And we loved Imagination Day because it meant Pokeroo would show up. And Pokeroo was like this giant, kangaroo-ish, dinosaur-ish, polka-dotted character that only said one thing, ever.
Pokeroo!
Pokeroo! In different tones and different intonations. Pokeroo! Pokeroo! Yeah, that was Pokeroo. And the thing was, there were 2 human hosts to the show, and the rest were puppets or dolls that didn't really do anything. Actually, I think they were dolls. They weren't really puppets. They didn't say. The only people that spoke were the adults, were the humans, and everybody else was just kind of a doll or a bear or something. And then every Thursday, Pokeroo would show up, but only one of the hosts. 99.9999% of the times it was the female host would actually
see
Pokeroo and interact. And then Pokeroo would go, and then the male host would come back and go, "Oh, you just missed Pokeroo." And he would always say, "I missed him again." And clearly it was that individual who was in the Pokeroo suit.
I didn't figure it out until I was 18, because
that's the thing. So, yeah, the whole Pokeroo thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, children, they look at things differently than what we do. So.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously.
Steph, how would you rate the episode?
Well, I mean, it wasn't funny. It was
okay,
all right.
Steph, are you basing it, like, overall compared to all the other episodes, or from the first time you saw it?
From the first time I saw it.
So, like, episode 3, the first time you ever saw it, you would have given it a 3 out of 10?
Yes.
Really?
I'm telling you, I could not watch season 1. I could not watch it.
Oh.
I mean, I skipped, like, Robin told me, he said, make sure you watch The Pack, Angel, and Prophecy Girl, and then come back later. And that's what I did.
Why are you subjecting us to this?
We just got to get through it.
Well, we will. So, would you rate this one a 1?
No, I mean, probably a 3.
Okay.
Another one? Oh, wow.
Gabby?
Yeah, I would give it a 3 out of 10 as well. Wow. Actually, maybe 3.5 because it was the return of the bronze, and it's always nice.
That's true.
It's always nice to see that. So
that's true.
How come there are no like adults around at the bronze? Like, do we ever meet the owner of the bronze?
No.
It would be kind of creepy to be an adult going to where high schoolers hang out.
But who runs the bronze though? Like, someone's got to own it. And why are they drinking like
coffee
drinks out of like rocks glasses with ice? They're trying to pretend they're like alcoholic drinks?
I suppose. I think it's all iced tea. Now,
I guess so.
I'd like to say I can put my gender aside and my teenage fantasies aside and rate this objectively, but I can't. This episode gets 4.5 out of 5 poutines. Because Xander was living the dream, man. And if it wasn't for the fact that she turned out to be She-Mantis, it would have gotten 5. But definitely, I appreciated this episode on many levels.
I liked it.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. Next week, so much better. Never kiss a boy on... No, what is it?
Never kill a boy?
Never kill a boy on the first date. It's much
that
better.
That sounds awesome.
It sounds awesome.
I'm intrigued. All right. Well, with that, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
And what's our closing lines?
She's going to lay eggs.
The words bug ugly kind of spring to mind.
Your hands are so serrated.
Oh, I forgot that Ryan emailed and wants us to say "ger arg" at the end.
Oh,
I
yes.
totally forgot about that.
What's "ger arg"? Or at the, oh, he at wants the very that to end be, of the episode.
He wants that
ger
to be your...
I didn't get that until I read that email, and then I actually, like... got past the credits. I'm like, oh, because usually when the episode's over and the credits start, I just go to the next
stop it, yeah.
I just stop it.
Yeah, you have to say the Gerarg because there are very special Gerargs sometimes.
Mm. Really?
Now, Steph, do you have a line from this episode or do you want to go off with the Gerarg?
I'm just going to say Gerarg.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks for listening. And what's our homework for next week?
Never kill a boy on the first date.
Perfect. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi there, Potential Cast Gang. This is Gabby, the girl that puts the G in Gax. First of all, I wanted to thank everybody for letting me be a part of this wild ride. It's been a blast so far, and I can't wait. You know, we've been through, 4 episodes, and with lots more to go. I also wanted to say that something that I've been noticing lately that's been kind of fun for me is I've been seeing little Easter eggs in some of the episodes. And in particular, in Teacher's Pet, I kind of thought it was funny when after that vampire with the claw hand got the bejesus scared out of him by the she mantis. When she was walking home, I'm sticking out of her grocery bag was a copy of that Jim Carrey movie, The Mask. Kind of thought that was funny because, as we all know, she was a big, gigantic praying mantis and not really a human being. That was just her mask. Yeah. Anyway, thanks again, everybody, and I'll be talking to you soon. Later.